at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Good morning to everybody. It's good to be here and to have the chance to preach for once in, the first time I've ever preached in an Anglican church, so it's a little different today for myself as well. But coming back to Martha and her sister Mary, I honestly do feel for Martha. I mean, there are other biblical characters who don't exactly come across as examples, and whether that's rightly so or not is another matter, but among the women in the Gospels, Martha probably is the one who is remembered for all the wrong reasons. Because really, she did nothing wrong. Rather, I think she should finally be praised and honored for her love for Jesus. When Jesus turns up in her small town, she invites him into her home. She opens her house, putting at his disposal whatever she has. She serves him in every way possible while always remaining in the background. She sees herself as a servant, and by means of her service, she wants to let Jesus feel all her love. Martha is the perfect host. Jesus is to lack nothing. He is to feel comfortable and at ease with nothing mundane to worry about. He has more important business to attend to, so she will make sure he is free to do so. And her motives in this are honorable. She is a true disciple of Christ, a woman who serves him from the bottom of her heart and who simply rejoices when Jesus doesn't have to worry about all the mundane stuff that somebody, after all, needs to look after. And yes, I will shortly get to where she is off track. But first, I think we really ought to acknowledge that she is not some, excuse the expression, some stupid cow, but a true and genuine servant of our Lord. Now, you may have heard of the five love languages popularized by Gary Chapman. According to this Chapman, each one of us has one or two primary love languages in which we best feel and we best communicate love. And he identified five of them and calls them: one, words of affirmation; two, quality time; three, gifts; four, acts of service; and five, physical touch. Now, according to Chapman, we express and receive love most easily and most readily in our particular love language. In his view, many conflicts in relationships stem from one partner expressing their love in their preferred love language and the other partner not recognizing these expressions of love as such because to them they don't mean a thing. Now, Martha, in any case, lived one act of service after another. It was in this way that she expressed her love for Jesus. He was an indispensable friend, and she showed him that she cared about him. And just before we go off track here, this is not about rivaling romantic love interests. These are two women who cared deeply about a friend, no more, no less. And they show it each in their own way. Martha serves Jesus, demonstrating her love by providing an all-inclusive care package. And I think we should just acknowledge and honor that she demonstrates what Jesus means to her. As does her sister Mary. But in Mary's love language, the same kind of love looks entirely different. Her love and appreciation for Jesus does not show in acts of service, but rather in quality time. She spends time with Jesus, who has her full attention. She sits down with Jesus, wanting to be close to him and sharing this opportunity of him being at her house. She's eager to learn, eager to hear what Jesus has to say, what there is to know about the kingdom of God. Her sitting at Jesus' feet is an expression of her being eager to learn from him, just as St. Paul, for example, learned at the feet of Rabbi Gamaliel, probably roughly at the same time. Her love for Jesus is every bit as real and as unconditional as her sister's. It just shows in a different way. Which, however, seems to have been Martha's problem. Because if you asked her, Mary is not doing things the right way. She needs to be corrected. Now, whether or not she's upset about a woman engaging in a conversation between men, whether Mary should or should not act like a student of theology, whether or not this is all just utterly inappropriate, Martha doesn't know five languages of love which might all be equally valid. In her mind, there is one official language in which love is to be expressed and that her sister Mary should know and act upon. Just sitting there and listening to her is not about love. It's rather refusing to do the work of love. She sees laziness and a lack of love, and that, I think, is her first problem, that she wants to dictate her sister what her relationship with Jesus is to look like. In her mind, acts of service is how love is to be expressed. That's just what's right. Any other way is not acceptable, and thus she obviously has to make sure that her sister is not so lazy and so without love towards Jesus. Seriously, she might ask, where would that take us if we allowed things to be different, to be done differently? And so I think we today are faced with the question whether or not we also only acknowledge one official language for loving Jesus. Does everyone else have to express their love for Jesus exactly like I do? Or do I allow my brothers and sisters to love Jesus in a way that differs from mine? Is evangelistic outreach or worship music the only way to love Jesus adequately? Or is social action the one and only thing on Jesus' mind? Or would he rather see diligent students of the Bible? Is it really only faithfulness in the small things, or is faith only really real in contemplation or when speaking in tongues? I could continue, but I suppose you get the idea. I do suspect, however, that there's an even deeper layer to this whole situation. A layer which shows in the fact that Martha does not address her sister, but rather complains to Jesus, essentially saying, "You really ought to know, Jesus, that her behavior is not okay. Do you not care?" In the end, what this comes down to is her accusing Jesus of not honoring her love for him. "Jesus, do you even notice all the effort I'm putting into this? Are you even interested in the amount of work I'm willing to invest? Jesus, I'm really struggling. Do you even notice how exhausting this all is? Do you notice to which lengths I go to demonstrate you my love and dedication to you? For if you did, you couldn't possibly watch me do it all on my own. You would have to tell my sister to support me. Jesus, I'm in this for you, busy to the point of exhaustion, active right up to a burnout. Do you even understand that? Jesus, I'm completely stressed out, just trying to love you, and you don't seem to care. Do you care? Do you even really care about me?" And I think that this is the logic of the older brother of the first pair of siblings in the Bible. It's the logic of Cain, who ends up killing his brother Abel. Now, clearly, Martha is nowhere near killing Mary, but her feeling of not being seen, of not being adequately appreciated, turns into an attitude of aggression, just like in Cain. Cain turns on his brother. Martha ends up turning against her sister and even against Jesus, whom she loves so deeply. They don't honor her efforts how she expects them to. And so she feels the need to defend against the perceived depreciation. And so she tries to force Jesus to make a statement. Her love for him, he just has to acknowledge, to honor and praise. I remember about, well, a bit over a decade ago, I was a pastor in a church in Germany there, and there was one woman in particular who volunteered and worked a lot for the church. But I, as the pastor, did not praise her for it. I did not thank her in the way she expected me to. Boy, was she mad at me. I ought to have praised her and honored her service. Now, in my perspective, this kind of attitude is not a healthy expression of my love for Jesus, but rather serves my own desire to be recognized, my own need to be seen and acknowledged. That said, I'm certain that Jesus clearly noticed how much effort Martha put into her service. I think that his kind and loving reply demonstrates that. Her response to her words is, his response to her words is, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Jesus sees Martha's worries. He sees and senses what bothers her, and he notices her efforts. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things," he says. And what that means is clear. "Martha, I have seen you. I do care about you. I love you too." But it also means, "Martha, you have got a few things wrong. I am not here for you to worry about me. I am not here to cause you unrest. I did not come to be served. I did come to serve." And no, that is not a disregard for Martha's service. That is not contempt for her hospitality. That is not disdain for her love and her efforts. All this is good and necessary, and Jesus appreciates what Martha does for him. Absolutely. But Jesus did not come to visit that town because he knew how great he would get looked after at Martha's place. He appreciates her efforts to make her guests at home and at ease. But that is not the point of the visit. He came because he wanted to meet and to spend time with both, with Mary and Martha. Because he wants to serve them, to give them what only he can give. They are to know the unconditional love of God. And that, by the way, applies to you and to me as well, and to the church as a whole, too. Jesus didn't come so that we might serve him. As lovely as it is to serve him and to show him our love in that way, but he came to be with us. Every day, all the time, now and forever. Now, it's true that serving him is part of living with him. But for us to serve him is not what it's all about. Especially so if we refuse to accept what he has to offer to us. Because we're too busy doing what we think has to be done. If we refuse to acknowledge him because we're too busy serving him. Sometimes it may seem easier to work for Jesus than to relax and quietly sit at his feet. But he came to gain my heart as well as my attention, not primarily for me to get active for him. May I learn to accept his love and let myself be truly loved. Amen.